As we continue on our study on the red letters and see how the Lord has played this out, we talk about sort of the conflict that's been going on between the religious leaders and Jesus. That in here, as Jesus has been ministering, remember, Jesus is getting towards the end of his ministry. So he's been ministering about three and a half years at this point. And they've seen the miracles that Jesus has said. They know the scriptures and they can see it unfold in front of them, and yet they still reject. And so Jesus starts talking about here. Next we're going to look at three parables. Not this morning. I'm taking one by one. I know you I go home and eat lunch. But we're going to look at the next three parables where Jesus brings across to the religious leaders that, look, because of their rejection of who he is, that they lose their place in the kingdom of God. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And that's so imperative for us to realize today. There is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I can go on. The scriptures are clear that there is only one way. You can say, well, Pastor, that's pretty narrow of you. I got a verse for that too, because Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to salvation, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It is narrow, because it's the truth, and our world hates truth today. I'm convinced of that. The more true it is, the more they hate it, because we want to believe whatever we want. Change the world in my image. I want to become basically a god. We see this. Let's remove God from school. Let's remove it from the public square. Right? That you have freedom of religion. I actually heard someone say this week. That you have freedom of religion as long as you do it in your own home. Don't you dare live your religion out. It's a Greek term for that. Hogwash. Hogwash. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are called to live out our faith. And we're talking about a little bit of that in Sunday school. What if we're in a world that is hostile to that? We're still called to live it out. It just makes it harder. Just remember, whatever is going on in the world, the direction it is going, and it seems to be going literally to hell so fast. Every day, I shake my head at what now? But our job does not change. I'm loyal to the kingdom of God, and to his word and his son, and we need to live that out. It just gets harder, but it doesn't change it at all. And so the word of the day, I'm thinking of my old Sesame Street days, the word of the day is relent. We're going to look at this word a little bit. It pops up in our passage this morning. But in here, the idea of relent means to agree to do something or accept something that you have resisted or opposing. All right, we're going to play this all out because our world wants to put so much emphasis on our emotions and on our what I want and my desires. But that isn't always right. And so sometimes we need a change. The other word that comes to the idea here is the idea of repent. And repent means to change one's mind. And so we repent from the world. Our mind is changed. We see things as God sees it. Sin is sin. And I turn from that and turn to him. But this idea of relenting has the idea of resisting, of not wanting to, and then resolving, and then changing and doing it. If you've been married, you know what this is like. Your spouse wants to do something that you really don't want to. Right? I don't want to do that. Yeah, but they do. And they... It's okay to say the word nag. I don't know if that's really the word I want to use. But they strongly encourage you to do it, right? And they won't let it go. It's like, please, please, please. And you're finally like, kids do this all the time, right? It's like, yeah, do it. No, no, I don't want to. No, no, no. Then what? Next thing you know, you're holding a purse outside the store. I mean, how does that happen? You relent. You give in. And we think of this as a negative connotation, and it does have some of that aspect. But if we resist doing what is right and yield and do what is right, then that's a good thing. And sometimes we are encouraged to do the right thing even though we don't want to. Talk about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. You know, I don't want to come to church this morning. I didn't want to come. You know, joke about a woman who came to the bottom of the stairs at her house and said, "Come on, we got to get ready for church." And the voice comes down and says, "I don't want to go." She goes, "But you have to go. I don't want to go. You always go, but I don't want to go." And so finally he goes, "Give me two reasons why I should go. One, it's the right thing to do. Two, you're the pastor." "All right, I'll go." Relent, but it's the right thing to do. So we're going to look at this played out in Matthew chapter 21. So if you want to follow along. It says, "Now when he had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching, saying, By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Now remember, Jesus has been preaching, ministering, right, for about 3 years at least. They knew who Jesus was. They knew who he claimed to be. And actually, a couple of times, they took up stones to kill him for blasphemy, right? They were there. They are fully aware. And now at the end here, they're like, "Well, who's the authority?" What they're trying to do is trap Jesus. Find some cause against him. But the religious leaders knew the truth, and it's imperative to realize this. They knew the scriptures. They've seen Jesus. They've seen Jesus heal the sick, right? They've seen him open the eyes of the blind. He has risen the dead, feeding the 5,000. Word of this has gotten all over. They've seen them so many times that we've stood here this morning and looked at the scriptures of the Pharisees were there and saw these things. They knew and resisted. So it wasn't the fact that they were coming to Jesus with an honest question, right? It wasn't like, "Jesus, you know, if you tell us the truth, we'll believe it." We don't see that, right? That's not where their heart is at. They're trying to find some loophole. They're trying to find something that they can take and accuse Jesus of. I'm guessing they're going to try to get him for blasphemy. But they had seen this. Matthew 11, just a few chapters prior, it says, Jesus' words says, "All things have been delivered to me by" why? "My Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son will reveal in him." Jesus makes it clear that him and the Father are one. They knew this. They heard this. And the scriptures go on, right? Matthew 10, 45, John 5, John 8. These are just a smackerel. Smackerel? I don't know if that's a word. A little bit. I'm making up stuff this morning. Right? These are just little, throughout the scriptures, Jesus made it clear who he said he was. And they reject it time and time and time again. And that becomes an area of pride and arrogance on their side. The Bible says God resists the proud. And you guys know people who are like this. Right? They're the smarter, holier-than-thou type of people. Who are like, "Oh yeah, but, you know, well the Bible says this." And they try to catch you up in something, right? They have no desire to know the truth. Jesus kind of likened that to casting pearl before swine. And they said, there are times when maybe you're face-to-face or nowadays online where someone is throwing out things. You know what? Don't even respond. You know, it's one thing if they were honest about it, if they wanted to learn or they really wanted your opinion, right? That'd be one thing. But you know, there are people out there that aren't seeking the truth and they're just trying to use this to trap you. And at that point, maybe it's not even worth wasting your breath on. especially online. You have these trolls that come along and try to draw you in and try to get you involved in these arguments and all that. And like I said, it'd be one thing if they were really honest, but they're not. And don't play that game. So Jesus turns around, right? Jesus, if you tell us what authority you do these things. And so Jesus answers it to them. I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Right? If you answer my question, I'll answer yours. It says the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? You guys know John the Baptist. And he said, okay, you know, I know by what authority I do these things. Let me ask you, John the Baptist, was he of God or was he of men? And I could just see the religious leaders' eyes get real big. And he said, they reason among themselves, saying, if we see from heaven, he will say to us, why did you believe in him? That's a good question, right? If John the Baptist was a prophet, if he was from God, how come you didn't listen to him? Especially what John said, right? He said, repent. For why? The Lamb of God is coming. And when Jesus came over the horizon, John said what? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. If John is who you think he is, if he is a prophet, he's from God, then you should listen to him. And one of the things that he said was, I am the Messiah. Well, we can't go down that road. So we can't do that, right? We can't say, well, he was from God because we condemn ourselves because we don't believe in you, Jesus. But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet, right? So if you say, well, no, John the Baptist, he was just a man. The crowd knew different. They knew John. They believe he's a prophet. They believe he was from God. And so we can't say we dismissed him, because when we dismiss him, now the crowd's going to be against us. So what to do and what to say? So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. What wimps. What wimps. Can I tell you something? Don't be wimpy. Remember, it used to be an old Hefty commercial. You guys remember your garbage bags? Go, weepy, 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 hefty, hefty, hefty. And the garbage bag would rip. How many of you guys remember that? Okay, good. Yeah, because I'm getting this look like, what are you talking about, Pastor? Right? Right? Don't be wimpy. Right? And he's also the guy that had the hamburgers he'll pay you Tuesday, right? Oh. That's really old. But don't be. You know, don't be one of these Christians that put his fingers up in the air and say, which way is the wind blowing? When people ask you for what you believe, stand firm and seek the truth with boldness. And we have so many Christians today who are just waffling. Are afraid to call sin, sin. Now, I'm not saying go around and you know, throw rocks at people's houses and hit them over the head and right. I was just listening to a sermon this week, and you were talking about the idea of judging. He says, "Look, we need to stand firm on the truth." But Jesus lived in a world full of sinners, and we saw Jesus pointing out everyone's sin. Jesus wouldn't have any time to do anything else because he was in a world full of sinners. But he offered grace to the lost. But Jesus did not back down off the word of God. And we need Christians who are willing to stand and say, this is wrong, this is sin. Christians who aren't afraid of the word, repent. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. But the Pharisees were like, oh no, we don't know. And so Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Right? If you're not willing to accept and speak the truth on John, you're not going to, right? I'm not going to waste my breath on you. And there is such a danger of being willfully blind. That's what the Pharisees were, willfully blind. Because they knew the truth. They were teachers of the law. They knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. And time again, Jesus fulfilled each and every one of those promises. They knew. but chose not to believe. The Bible says, he who knows right and does it not, to him it is sin. And Christians, we can't put the blinders on. We can't go along. And we're so afraid, we're talking about this in Sunday school, we're so afraid of being called judgmental or you know, you're just judgy. No, we're standing on the truth. And the thing is, the church or Christianity isn't an inclusive club. But guess what? Everyone can join it. Jesus opens the door and says, come. But there are so many who are just willfully blind, who will choose the things of this world and not the things of God. And they know better. They know better. Right? Some of you have family. You know, some of you have children. We're talking about this, right? You put it in there. We talk about that on Mother's Day. You taught them right from wrong. You taught them the things of Scripture. And they are choosing not to. That's not on you. That's on them. Because they are willfully blind. Look what Jesus said this earlier in John chapter 9. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. But when some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, they said to him, are we blind also? Right? Jesus is talking about those who are spiritually blind in this world. And there are some that think they see, but they don't. And there are those that don't see, but God will reveal things to them. And so the Pharisees were all like, well, all these peasants, all these people, yeah, all these people are blind, but are we blind? Oh, we have the Scriptures, right? We sit in the seat of Moses. Look at how elated we are. Look how wonderful we are. Well, are you saying we're blind too? Look what Jesus says. He says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. And you're like, what? What are you saying here? Is that those who do not understand, those who acknowledge the God, look, I don't know, but I want you. Right? I don't understand it all, but Lord, show me. Right? Have you ever sat down with someone who is very teachable? And that's a wonderful opportunity. If you like to teach, right? If you like to show people how to do things, and you got someone who is eager, you know what? I don't know this. Can you show me? Wow, you can pour a whole lot in that person. Right? Now, the flip side of that, have you ever tried to teach someone something to someone who is very unteachable? Someone who knows it all? Right? How far do you get? Not far at all. I knew a young man that was very good at some video things. And so he was just one of these kids that was just so technologically with it. And so the school that he was at had a movie studio, and they were doing, he was doing productions. And actually one of the local news channels, he was a teen, about 14, somewhere around that. And the news channel asked him to come. And he was running some of the equipment for the news station. He was just that good at it. And so in here, they're like, look, you go to school, we'll offer you a job. And all these things were just opening up. I mean, just so gifted and talented. And he went to college. And he sat down in the class and was talking to this guy's dad. And he asked him, how is he doing? He goes, he dropped out of school. I said, why? Because he's like, oh, the college professors don't know anything. They can't teach me anything. So I'm going to quit and I'm going to do it all on my own. I said, how's he doing? He goes, well, he's working at a gas station right now. And sometimes especially when you're young, you can get really cocky. You think you know it all. You know, I had someone who was 21 years old try to give me marital and parenting advice. And I was like, okay.
know, they're like, well, when I'm married, I'll tell my wife this and da, 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 and she'll jump how high, and my kids will be well behaved and call me sir. And I'm thinking like, all right, you know what? You talk to me in like 20 years, so we'll see how this goes, right? But it's amazing. I know I was this way. My mom will tell you. I hit an age where I just thought I knew it all, and I thought my parents were so dumb. I admit this, and to me, it's to my shame. I remember once talking with my mom, and I looked at her, and I told her, I said, Mom, you're so dumb that if your brain didn't automatically make you breathe, I said, you wouldn't even breathe. And then I saw stars, and I woke up a week later. No, but I deserved it, right? I was just like, oh, and I look back. What an arrogant punk I was, because I thought I knew it all. I was unteachable. And, oh, man, I regret that. And can I tell you something? The older I get, the smarter my parents became. Because I'm like, man, they did this? You know, five kids, and I look back, and I'm like, especially, it's really weird, I don't know if you ever do this, but you start calculating how old your parents were at certain times. Because I'm like, man, my parents were just like so old. Well, now I go back and do the math, I'm like, they were like in their 30s. I'm like, oh man, I mean, that was 20 years ago. I'm like, and they were doing, how would they do it? It says, if you were blind, right? If we weren't aware, then we'd have no sin. But when it is brought up to us, because the Pharisees were saying, hey, we see it, we understand, we know, and they knew their own guilt. But they chose to be blind. So Jesus goes on in chapter 21. He says, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go today, work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. Right? So go and work in the field. No way. I'm not going to do that. Go. I'm not going to. You can't make me. And then later on, he was like, oh, man. Dad asked me to do that. I'm going to go. See, this is the son that was rebellious, but then he relented. Right? He didn't want to do it, but because his dad asked him, he did it. At first, he was defiant. I'm not going to. He resisted the will of the Father, but then he yielded to it. Verse 30 talks about the second son. And then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered him, sir, I go. But he did not go. Right? Will you do this for me? Oh, yeah, Dad, I'll do it. Okay, you get it done today? Oh, yeah, no problem, Dad. And Dad leaves, and guess what? It never gets done. So which of these two did the will of his father? Which one was the obedient son? The one that said yes, but didn't do it? Or the one that said no, then ended up doing it? And they said to him, the first son. Right? Even though he resisted at first, even though he rebelled at first, he surrendered and did it. That's the good son. So the first son rebels and then relents and does the right thing. The second one receives it, says, I'll do it, but then what? Then he rebels. Can I tell you something? Here is a great spiritual truth. How we end is more important than how we start. How we end, and this applies to so many things in your life, it's how we end and not how we start. It's easy to be excited at the start of something. You get a new job. Woohoo! I love my job. 4 months later, right? And all of a sudden, you're not showing up. You're not doing. In marriage, you're like, woohoo! I love marriage. Honeymoon period. Woohoo! Fast forward. Right? Couple with a new baby comes home. Oh, look at this. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, oh. Then they don't sleep for a month.
Right? It's easy to start off well. We were in a church and there's a guy, pastor, he goes, I discovered my spiritual gift. And I said, what's that? He goes, my spiritual gift is starting things. He goes, I love starting things. He likes the thrill and getting organized and doing all that. He goes, I love starting things. The problem was that everything he started about 2 months later, the thrill was gone. He's dropped it. And I told him, I sat down and I said, sir, God calls us to be faithful, to be diligent. I said, even if he goes, well, God's wired me to start things. I said, look, fine, start things, but get it to a point where you can hand it off to someone else then. Well, he didn't like that part of the ministry either. He just wanted to start things. It's easy to be caught up in that. But when push comes to shove, when things get hard, it's easy to quit. I've been trying to lose a little bit of weight after this winter. Every winter I do this. You know? And it's like, ugh. So trying to watch what I eat and trying to exercise. And it's like, yeah, I don't get it. My wife, you know, will ask me, goes, oh, so do you enjoy your exercise? Like, no. Some people say that, I've heard there's rumors that people actually like to exercise. I'll pray for you. I was like, this ain't fun. This ain't nice. I don't enjoy this. And I'm bad because, you know, I'll go and get on the scale and like, ugh. Now, you know, I'll eat my lettuce and I'll lift a little bit of weight. And about a half hour later, I'll go stand on the scale. And it goes up a little bit. And I was like, oh, I quit. This is hard. Right? No, it's slow and steady wins the race. It's the long run. And that's what's hard. Look what Jesus says here, verse 31. And Jesus said to them, surely I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not relent and believe him. You didn't relent. You knew. You religious leaders, you had the word. You had the prophecies. You've seen all these things. You're the ones who are like, yes, yes, yes. Yes, we love God. Yes, we want the Messiah. We welcome him. We want all these things. And yet when he came, I don't want anything with it. I didn't want anything with it. And he points to the tax collectors and the harlots. He points to the sinners who were rebellious against God, who were lost in their sin. And yet when they heard the word, when Jesus came to town, they're the ones who showed up. He said, they're the ones that get the kingdom of heaven. We see this. Matthew chapter 9 says, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him. This is after Matthew gets called. Matthew's a tax collector, right? He's rejected by his people. He's sold out as a traitor to Rome, right? He was hated and despised. That's why he talks about tax collectors. It's still to this day. I had someone come into our church, and he's one of these guys. He asked him what he did for a living, and he goes, well, I kind of work for the government. Oh, well, what do you do? And he was really dodgy, and I'm like, maybe he's like an FBI agent or something, because he was just kind of evasive, right? He wouldn't tell you what he was doing. And all of a sudden, one day, we're working on something together, and we're just talking about work. And I said, well, where do you work? He goes, the IRS. He goes, I don't like to tell people I work for the IRS because no one wants to be my friend. I'm like, hey, Matthew knew what that was like, right? And Jesus went to Matthew's house, and there was religious leaders who turned around and pointed the finger and said, how dare you eat with them? And Matthew's friends were the sinners, were the outcasts. But they came to Jesus. How you end is more important than how you start. I am so thankful that Jesus has offered his salvation to sinners, such as me. I don't have a high horse to get on. I didn't come from much. didn't come from wealthy families, of powerful families, of some inheritance. No one's going to die and leave me buckets of money. But you know what? I'm a child of God. I have an inheritance. The song I learned as a kid rings so true. I got a home in glory that will outshine the sun. You know, I may spend some of my youth living in a bus, but I got a mansion right over the hilltop. It's how I finish. My prayer is, Lord, help me to finish strong. Help me to be faithful until the end. Along the way, I'm going to let you down, Lord. I'm going to fail. I'm going to lose my way. But praise God, He draws me back again and again. And Lord, say, here am I. I hope that's your prayer. God loves sinners. If you'll come to Him. It's the righteous who think they're good enough. That they don't need God. They don't need these things. They're the ones who miss out. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Then Jesus heard that. He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. See, it's not what we have. The psalmist says in Psalm 51, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. But you do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you do not despise. God's not impressed with what you have. He wants your heart. And maybe you've been resisting, maybe you've been fighting. There's areas of your life He says to surrender. Let me tell you something. Give it up right now. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talk about the sons. One's rebelled, then relented. We talk about the son that receives and then rebels. And the call goes out to us today to repent and relent. Stop fighting the Lord. I don't know what area in your life God is saying surrender to Him, but He says surrender it to Him. And maybe you've been fighting it for years. Maybe today's that day for you to surrender. Today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. As in the rebellion, as in days of trials in the wilderness. Israel was stiff-necked. God was trying to lead them, and they fought it every step of the way. They said, yes, we are your children, and yet walked away from Him. Christian, today, surrender to the will of the Lord. Maybe you've been fighting. Today's a good day to relent. Maybe God's been calling you to do something. You've been resisting it. Relent. Surrender. And folks, there's joy in that. There's peace. There's acceptance. If you resist and draw away, you're on the wrong path. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Encourage us and strengthen us by it. Lord, today in each of our lives, Lord, help us to surrender, to relent from the things that are holding us back, Lord. Help us to finish strong. Lord, help us not to hang our hat of what we were. But Lord, help us look forward to what we can be. Lord, help us to surrender it all to You. We ask this in Your name. Amen.